The year was 1966. Two undefeated football teams, Notre Dame and Michigan State, were playing for the national championship.
People have called it the dream game of the century, and in my long association with football, I can't think of any game that has ever attracted the national attention as this game has. Dick Kenny at the 40, and he's ready. There's the kick. High end over end, being taken by Conjar at the 14-yard line, back to the 15, 20, and to the 27-yard line.
The entire nation was tuned into the game, witnessing not just the clash of helmets and bodies, of fighting Irish and Spartans, but of segregated and integrated. In 1966, the Fighting Irish had only one black player on their team, while the Michigan State Spartans were one of the most racially diverse teams out there. Adam Rittenberg covers Big Ten football for ESPN.com. He recently published an article about the legacy of Michigan State's integrated football teams during the 1960s. He joins us now from Chicago via phone. Adam, welcome to Current State.
Oh, thanks for having me, Emmanuel.
I'm absolutely thrilled. I loved the piece that you wrote on this. So let's get right into it. So in 1960, MSU has a team that's it's extremely diverse in the 1960s, both racially and geographically. So players at Michigan State, they're from places like Texas and the Carolinas. How are we getting these players to come to State?
Well, you know, again, a lot of those players were from areas of the country where it was still segregated and couldn't play for the major teams in their states. You know, so Bubba Smith, for example, a great player from Texas, who wanted to play for the University of Texas but couldn't because he was black. Jimmy Ray from North Carolina, who couldn't play for NC State or University of North Carolina because they were segregated. So they were looking for some place to play. And Duffy Doherty, the coach for Michigan State at the time, you know, cast a very wide recruiting net. You know, he looked at these players. He had connections with coaches in those parts of the country, both the black high school coaches and some white college coaches, you know, who saw these players, who would love to have had those players on their team, but wanted them to have opportunities. So they almost ushered them to Duffy Doherty and Michigan State. And you know, again, at that time, the Big Ten was really the conference of opportunity for black players everywhere, especially from the South, because they would have a chance to play, and it was really the only opportunity for some of these elite players who wouldn't be able to play for the top schools in their state. So that's how many of them ended up at schools like Michigan State, like Minnesota, which is another great program in the 1960s, like Iowa, Wisconsin. Quite a few Big Ten programs really took a lot of these players from the South.
Now, Duffy, he didn't only venture to the South. He also went recruiting in Hawaii. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right, yeah, it was something I was hoping to get into this, a little bit more in the story. You know, yeah, he regularly brought in some Polynesian players from Hawaii, a couple every year. They played big roles on these national championship teams, you know, and again, offering them the opportunity to come to, you know, a good school like Michigan State to play football at, you know, at that time in the best conference in the country. And, you know, you just had this mix. You know, it wasn't just white and black. You had Polynesian, and as you mentioned, it wasn't just Northerners. You had a lot of players from the South and obviously from Hawaii. So it was just a team that, again, kind of reflected a country that was in the process of changing during the mid-60s.
Now, at the time, I'm sure that, as you mentioned, there's other programs, Minnesota, Iowa, that are also recruiting players from the South. What about Duffy and MSU made players want to come and play for the Spartans?
Well, first of all, Michigan State has a long tradition of offering opportunities for black players. You know, the first quarterback to play in the Big Ten was Willie Thrower. He played, great name too for a quarterback.
Yeah, great name.
he came to Michigan State in 1950, and he actually was the first black quarterback in the NFL after that when he went to play for the Chicago Bears. Also, Gideon Smith back in 1913 was one of the first black men to play college football at a major level. So Michigan State had this tradition. And then I also, you know, from talking to the players and one of the former assistants at that time, you know, Duffy Doherty's personality, I think, had a lot to do with it. You know, he had the ability to go into really any home, you know, white, black, north, south, or even in Hawaii, and connect with the recruit, connect with the parents. Like I mentioned, he had a lot of these friendships with coaches from other parts of the country. Bear Bryant from Alabama, Daryl Royal from Texas, Spud Wilkinson from Oklahoma. All those programs weren't taking these players. So I definitely think his personality had a huge role in being able to bring in so many of these elite prospects. And what he would do, you know, there'd be these coaches' conventions around the country where the black coaches weren't really allowed to participate. So he would have separate clinics for the black coaches, make relationships with them through those clinics. That's how he got to know Bubba Smith's father, who was a great high school coach in Texas. And then that obviously led to Bubba Smith coming to Michigan State. And then Gene Washington, who Bubba Smith had played against, they kind of got him to Michigan State through that connection. So I think that the Doherty's personality, his openness, and then certainly sending assistance around the country to the Carolinas, to Texas, and so forth, led to the surge in players from the South.
Now, these players coming up from the South, they're coming from Jim Crow South, you know, separate drinking fountains, essentially treated as second-class citizens. And talking to these players, what was it like for them to come to East Lansing?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a culture shock in certain ways. You know, the climate was a culture shock, and for a lot of them, you know, like Gene Washington, for example, not only did he not play against any white players or with any white players in high school, but you know, he grew up near Houston, and he barely interacted with any white people. So coming to Michigan State, you know, they put him in a dorm with two white swimmers from Indiana. Obviously, he had many white teammates with the Spartans. He was now playing against white players in the season. So, you know, that definitely was a bit of a change. But again, from talking to a lot of these guys, it almost seemed like you know, a lot of the issues that were going on in the country, the activism, the rioting, the tension didn't seem to exist in Michigan State. There weren't a lot of racial issues. There was nothing really on the team. You know, things like interracial dating were discouraged, one of the players told me, but you know, it wasn't an environment where they felt you know, marginalized or tense. They really enjoyed it. It was almost this utopia, you know, in a country, in a country where college campuses were extremely
vital
tense
at that time.
Right, yeah. Right. Many of these guys didn't even want to go home. They enjoyed their time at Michigan State so much.
So the 1965 and 66 seasons are some of the most successful in MSU history. And at the time, there's still kind of this hesitation, even in schools in the North that have black players, to play more black players than white players. It's kind of a token athleticism, if you will. And Michigan State was going out there and playing, you know, eight black guys and three white guys. This team kind of really crushes that stereotype. Do you think that they recognized the significance of what they were doing as they were doing it?
They definitely did not. I mean, that was something that, you know, again, as they become older, as they've been removed from the game and can look back at the history, or even a guy like Sherman Lewis, who played in the early 60s and graduated by the time that game of the century took place in 66. You played that clip. You know, even for him watching from home and seeing, yeah, the contrast of Michigan State against a Notre Dame team with only one black player and Alan Page, that sort of hit home. But for the guys playing at the time, you know, again, like I said, you know, there weren't major racial tensions on campus. There weren't any on the team. They were just playing the game. They're trying to win games. They're trying to go to the Rose Bowl. But when they look back on it now, I think they really see the significance historically of what they were able to do in that time period.
And what Duffy was doing at the time, people weren't always happy with it. I read about some incidents where people were like, I'm going to stop cheering because you're playing too many black people. Was he taking a risk in what he was doing in the 1960s?
Well, sure. Again, there was prejudice at the time, and I think it did take some time for some people to warm up to this idea, that this changing team that you're looking at every Saturday. But, you know, again, I think, you know, he looked at it as, hey, I want to give these guys opportunities. They're all great players. Let's make our program better. Let's make Michigan State a destination for players who weren't having these opportunities elsewhere. And listen, it led to national championships. And again, a couple of the players talked to me about a culture of winning. It sort of blocked out everything else that was going on around the country, the civil rights movement, the rioting on campuses elsewhere, the tension. Because they were winning, everyone just kind of came around, and they were singing, they were enjoying it, they had the great chance at the games. And so I think think when again, winning kind of cures everything in sports, and that I think that definitely changed opinions when you know they started to have the season they had in 65 and 66.
A recipe for success there. Well, Adam, thank you so much for chatting with me. Adam Rattenberg works for ESPN.com. His recent article is Spartans Blended: Race in the 1960s. And to take us out, we have Coach Duffy.
Go right through for MSU. Watch the points keep growing. Spartan teams are bound to win. They're fighting with the vim. Rah, rah, rah. See their line.